I have thought for some time that this can be expressed not just in the artist, the way we usually do here, and so often use the artist as an expression. And we have used some of the music at times in bits and pieces. But it occurred to me a little time ago that actually there are a series of discs, which we have here, which I think will in themselves express the problem of the loss of meaningfulness, the total loss of meaningfulness in the post-Christian West. Now, having said this, I would begin by saying that the place to begin, I think, is with Bach. Now, in understanding Bach, one must understand that Bach was a thoroughgoing Christian, and not just in a general sense of having a general cultural outlook. But Bach was a man who was what we would know today as a complete and thoroughgoing Bible-believing Christian. And he was totally aware of this point. And fortunately, we do not have to guess about this, for in his own writings, this is very obvious. And also on the score itself, he writes such things as glory to the Lamb and these other great expressions. Now, in understanding Bach, you must parallel him in music to what we find in painting in Rembrandt. And that is, in both cases, they were men who were willing to be creatures in a world in which there is a creator. And consequently, they did not have to make their own unity. Now, this may be strange terminology to some of you, but I would simply say it was not strange terminology to Bach himself. Bach's whole concept was unity in the midst of diversity. And he didn't feel it incumbent upon himself to make his own unity, because he was quite willing to be a creature in God's world, and as such, there was already the unity. Now then, this being the case, he was free to put all his energy in the question of diversity. And Bach spent a lot of energy to keep the diversity clear. His music is polyphonic, which means it has many voices, many themes, and no dominant theme. Now, in a little while, we're hoping that in one of the Farrell House lectures, that Jane will give us a whole evening on this. And she will take us certainly much deeper than I could go tonight, or I could go, with her background of study in this. But nevertheless, the secret of this rests with the fact that his music was polyphonic. It had many themes, and he went to great pains to keep the diversity almost unlimited in keeping the Italian music free from the English and so on. They were unmixed. Now then, Bach, putting his energy in diversity, not having to make his own unity, could have a great deal of diversity indeed. And at times when you listen to Bach, it sounds as though you are going to be overwhelmed by the diversity. But it is obvious from anyone who knows Bach's music, one is never finally overwhelmed by the diversity. Because in the midst of diversity, there is final unity. Because, as I say, he did not need to make his own unity, being the creature of God. Now, this is exactly parallel, and it isn't the thing we want to dwell on tonight. We could do it some other time. This is exactly parallel to Rembrandt's painting. Now, having said this, I've just chosen one of my Bach discs at random. I haven't even listened to it tonight to see if it's the best one, and I don't think I'll let it play all the way through, but just to get the force of the unity and diversity.
Suite number 2 in B minor, first movement.
Tremendous diversity. But while there's tremendous diversity and greater diversity than we find in most musicians, yet nevertheless it leaves one, I think, with a feeling of being completely integrated. Instead of it taking you outward, it pulls you inward. And the reason for this is Bach's own life. not in the sense of the life he lived, but what he believed. And being a real born-again Christian, in the historic sense of the word, as I say, he didn't have to make his own unity. He had the unity, and so the diversity could be resolved and was resolved. Now, following Bach, we come to the Romantic school of music. And in the Romantic school of music, a less high ideal was set. Instead of it being polyphonic, those in the Romantic school settled for one major theme. Now this is a retreat. It is a retreat because it is in the direction of man finding his own unity. Consequently, in the Romantic schools, as in the Romantic painting, man thought that he could find his own meaning in his own circle on a lower level. Now then, we could think of numerous composers who would exhibit this, but I suppose Beethoven would be the one that most of us would have in mind as the writer of Romantic music. Now then, in choosing the disc tonight, I didn't choose the disc that shows the Romantic tendency most, but rather I chose a disc that shows Beethoven at the end of his life. A time when Beethoven has tried to find the meaning in the circle of man himself on the lower level. And then we come to the old man Beethoven. And he is in difficulty, as most of you know his life, I'm sure. In deep difficulty. And the question is his romanticism victorious? Now you see, he is on a much lower level than Bach. He is willing to settle for a unity on a much lower level than Bach. But even on the lower level, was he successful? And we have here a disc tonight in which there is an orchestra and the piano. It's Beethoven as the old man, right? He's writing as an old man. And we are told by those who should know that Beethoven was actually picturing himself, that the piano is Beethoven, and the orchestra is life, and it is rather overwhelming. This is the old romantic Beethoven at the end of his life, when he's been willing to settle for much less than Bach, and yet I think we see in this that it is totally unachieved, and the orchestra against the piano ends in a draw. It isn't a defeat, it's a draw. Incidentally, this is one of my favorite discs in all the world. I think it's one of the most amazing recordings that I've ever heard.
Beethoven, Concerto for Piano and Orchestra, No. 4, First Movement.
Thank you. this disc, therefore, we've seen Beethoven, who, as romantic, was willing to settle for much less than Bach. And yet, as he comes to the end of his life, this is where he ends. Now, notice that there is not absolute war between Beethoven and the world. It isn't just Beethoven. It is man. And it isn't the world, it's destiny, it's fate. It's the total man against the total of that which is around him. Now, Beethoven keeps true to his romanticism. And so both the fate is romantic and the piano is romantic. It isn't that a romantic piano is confronted with a non-romantic fate. One feels almost as though the piano is to be overwhelmed at times not by the harshest notes but by the sweetest ones. But the total conclusion is, as we come to the end, that it is a draw. The romanticism has not found an answer. There is no real universal. In a way, at some times, the fate and the individual seem to play together. At other times, they're distinctly opposed. So what we have, when we come to the end of romanticism, as expressed by this, is a picture of man fighting to a draw. But now, this was followed, of course, by the romantic writers who took this further. It was paralleled in all the artistic forms. And in painting, of course, the next step is in the Impressionist. And the Impressionist is a bridge. You can say it is modern painting, you can say it is not modern painting. You can say you like it, you can say you don't like it. But one thing it certainly is, it's a bridge. And Impressionism in painting began as one thing and ended as quite another. It began as one thing, as a study of light, as a study of many things, question of reality, incidentally, and how we look at it. But it ended with Van Hawk, or Van Gogh, in southern France. Quite insane. It ended with Gauguin painting his great painting Wentz and then trying to commit suicide. So it was a bridge, but it was a bridge that fell away from under men. Now, in music, you have a parallel thing in Debussy. And Debussy is the bridge. Now, after this, the modern writers take up. And the modern writers take up, they have departed from any sense of unity, such as Bach would have given. The romanticism has slid away from under them. And instead of this, they're confronted with making their own world on their own base. Now, Bach, you see, had a reason for a base. God is there. He is infinite. He is personal. Christ has died for Bach as a sinner. So the moral question is settled. The romanticist said, let's go on. Without really a base. When we come to the end of this period, however, the moderns take up and they say, let's be honest about this. We have no base and let's stay flatly where we are. Now, the record I have tonight for this is one of Schoenberg. And I'll play this. And there is a logical progression. I won't play all of this, it's too painful. But there is a logical progression from Bach to Beethoven, to Beethoven as the old man, through the bridge, to what we come to now in Schoenberg. Thank you. Bogen, Bogen. Schoenberg, it's not just the case that he is portraying a sick mind. It is something much deeper, and that is, this is his view of life. And this is all there is. Now, actually, those of us who know something about painting can very sharply bring into focus what this equals in the world of painting. It would be Van Gogh or Van Hock's self-portrait, begun in 1870 in Paris, continuing to the end of his life as he paints himself less and less as a human being and more as a beast. So many other things. And there's a parallel. By this time, therefore, man has come to what would seem to be the end. Beginning as a creature in God's world, in which he does not need to make his own unity, therefore can think on great diversity and bring forth tremendous diversity. Going then to the romantic of settling for less of just one theme, which would seem to be that the genius could support it, yet coming to the end of Beethoven's life without a true conclusion, coming to Schoenberg and using this music as an expression of the fact that there is nothing but chaos now and no unity. Now, it would seem as though this is the end, but it's not the end. Man, if he is going to be God, even in his own limited framework, must be separated from even this. And the next step is the technical music of music concrete. Now, music concrete is not electronic music. If it were, it would not be so terrible. It is a natural sound, totally distorted, to result in what we shall hear. Consequently, by this time, it is like Picasso at a certain point of his career trying to win out over the small area of his canvas. And this is a very deep philosophic expression of the end of the road in this regard. I might say that it's one end of the road. It's chaos. The other end of the road would be simply one note struck and held for infinity. And that would be unity with no diversity whatsoever. But this is on the moving in the direction of Schoenberg, step further, into that which is chaotic music. Now, music concrete is developed by Paul Schaeffer in Paris. It has had great expression in certain places, New York, for example. It is made by distorting sound, as I've said, but it is meant to be, and I think indeed is, a most sober expression of the chaos of man living in the circle of what he himself can comprehend and be. I'll just play part of this again, not the full disc, Music on Cray.
Now here, I let it go through the whole first section. I think, incidentally, this is the longest thing ever put together of Music on Cray. But the reason I let it go through was to show that it ends without any resolution whatsoever. It ends in complete conflict. Now, the awful thing of this particular piece of Music on Cray is that the human voice is used with the noise, and that both equally disintegrate. Also, the terrible thing about this is that you hear sounds that you think you understand, and you almost understand them, and they slip away beneath your fingers. Consequently, what is being told to us here is that this is the end of the road, and that is there is an equal and total disintegration of both the less than human sounds and the human sounds. Now, by the time we've come to Music on Cray, we have come a round circle. We have begun with the Christian position with Bach, understood, expressed. A unity and a diversity. Diversity which is exceedingly intense, but a unity founded on what he believed and knew the world to be. It's very significant that certain liberal theologians and those influenced by them have tried to put out Bach's chorales with new words, removing the words that made it possible to give the music, because they don't lump the words. But what they don't understand is that without the words, he couldn't have written the music. Now, what they're trying to do is keep the beauty of Bach without the base upon which Bach was built. But the musicians we have traced and the artists that are parallel to them have tried this and have found where it goes. Now actually, by the time we get to Music on Cray, these are the concentration camps of the world. These are a terrible lostness. These are insanity. But all humanity is insane. One can have the chaos, or one, as I say, can have a total unity without diversity, and that is a single note sounded for eternity. But one must choose. Now, I would say next that we are not the first people who have come to this conclusion in trying to make their own universe. The Eastern religions did it long, long ago. The Eastern religions have tried and come to the conclusion that eventually there is no meaning to life. That is an illusion. It is an illusion. And the deep understanding of life is to just consider the illusion, and that is all. Now, I thought I would end with a few selections from the Zen discs a couple of us have used in the past. Because we will find that the Zen is exactly a parallel to what we have just heard. It is more terrible in a sense because it is more cultured. There is something a little bit crass about Music on Cray. So that, for example, if you hear this once, one should be moved, I feel. If you hear it twice, it's a little, it isn't quite as forcible. Because there's something crass about it. But the East has tried this with great care over long periods of time until they say the same thing in utter culture. One never loses the impact of the Zen lines. They never get better. They grow worse. Now, I'll not play much of the Zen disc for the simple reason that I don't want to take too long with this. But a little bit of the of this disc of Zen, which is made up of
the English text, then the Japanese music, and then the Japanese original.
And a few of these sentences to show that the Zen, in reality, came a long time ago, and classical Buddhism behind it, and classical Hinduism behind that, came to exactly the same place that music concrete has brought modern math.
What is Zen? An old master has said, when I knew nothing of Zen, mountains were to me just mountains, waters just waters. But when I knew a little of Zen, mountains were no longer mountains, waters no longer waters. But when I had thoroughly understood, once again, mountains were mountains and waters waters. The raindrops patter on the banana leaf, but these are not tears of grief. This is only the anguish of him who is listening to them.
ただこれ時の人を断腸聞く。
Meeting, the two friends laugh and laugh. The forest grove, the many fallen leaves.
Shoken kakashite mi. Onrin rakuyoshi.
The cries of the monkeys echo through the dense forest. In the clear water, the wild geese are mirrored deep.
Jumitsu ni shite ensei hibiki. Nami sunde ganye fukashi.
The wind drops, but the flowers still fall.The bird sings, and the mountain becomes more mysterious.
Kaze sadamarite hanana ochi. Tori nakite yama sarani kasukanari.
Entering the forest, he does not disturb a blade of grass. Entering the water, he does not cause a ripple.
Hayashi ni irite kusa o dokazu.水に入りて波立たず。
The plum tree dwindling contains less of the spring, but the garden is wider and holds more of the moon.
梅痩せて古春少なく。庭を広くして特月をし。
The tree manifests the bodily power of the wind. The wave exhibits the spiritual vitality of the moon.
十分体の定位を停止。波月の精神をもて遊ぶ。
Draw water, and you think the mountains are moving.Raise the sail, and you think the cliffs are on the run.
九水三道お互い、洋帆岩港を覚ゆ。
In the great void, there is no back or front. The path of the bird annihilates east and west.Perceiving the sun in the midst of the rain,
ladling out clear water from the depths of the fire.
Uchuni kajitsuomi, karini seisen wo kumu.
To have the sun and moon in one's sleeve, to hold the universe in the palm of one's hand.
Shuchu ni nitsugetsu o zoshi, shounai ni kenkon o akusu.
The blue hills are of themselves blue hills. The white clouds are of themselves white clouds.
Seizan no nozu kara seizan, hakun no nozu kara hakun.
Heat does not wait for the sun to be hot, nor wind for the moon to be cool.
Hi wa hi o matazu shite meshi, kaze wa suki o matazu shite suzushi.
You may wish to ask where the flowers come from, but even the god of spring doesn't know. The waters before and the waters after, now and forever flowing, follow each other. There is no place to seek the mind. It is like the footprints of birds in the sky. Sitting quietly, doing nothing. Spring comes, grass grows of itself.
Genzen buji ni shite dashi, haru kitarite kusa onozu kara hayu.
Above, not a piece of tile to cover the head. Below, not an inch of ground for the foot.
Ue ni heigai no oto nashi, shita ni sundo no rissoku nashi.
Myself of long ago, in nature non-existent, nowhere to go when dead, nothing at all.
Horai no naki nishie no ware nareba, shini yuku kata mo nani mo kamo nashi.
If you do not believe, look at September, look at October. The yellow leaves falling, falling to fill both mountain and river.
Fushin ni shite tada miru hachikugetsu, funpun taru koyo sansen ni mitsu.
The mind, what shall we call it? It is the sound of the breeze that blows through the pines in the Chinese ink picture.
Kokoro to wa ikanaru mono yu yaran, sumi に書きします風の音。
Now this really is more terrible. And I think that was a good one to end on. The mind of man is like the wind blowing through a pine tree. When one comes to this place, one has the feeling of emptiness. But with the full culture of these Zen poems, it continues. It says that the mind of man is like the wind blowing through the pine tree in a Chinese ink painting. And that is enough. Now then, there is a great question that arises. Is this right? Is this absolutely irresistible logic that drives us on to the disintegration of man in music concret and equally man in Zen? Is this all man is? And the terrible part of this is that to the man who just lives in this place, the old Beethoven trying to maintain his romanticism but driven on, Picasso coming to his disintegration, Gauguin attempting to paint Wentz and then trying to commit suicide, Van Gogh's self-portraits becoming more bestial, the new theology going on from logic to logic, driven on until living in exactly the same place where this Zen disc brings us. Such a man is Tillich, bringing us to the same place. Is this all there is? Now there are only two alternatives. Either this is all man is, and so there is no solution, because he is damned by what he is. Or man is not damned on the basis of his being and what he is, but for another reason. Now, what other reason might we seek? Well, if we were speaking philosophically, we would be shut up to one other basic area. That is the basic area of morality. There are two basic areas, the area of being and the area of morality. If man's damnation is on the basis of his being, that which he is metaphysically and that which he is, then there is no solution. We must end where the Zen Buddhist disc ended. No ground under his feet and no tile over his head. He enters the water and he makes not a ripple. Now, if it is on the basis of his being, if this is his problem, there is no solution. We must end with a beatnik. We must end with a teddy boy. We must end with a total amoral concept. On the other hand, even philosophically, we must be aware that there is a total other possibility. And that is, man is not damned on the basis of his being, but on the basis of his morality. Now then, as I say, even philosophically, this is another possibility. But modern man, as those of the East, rejects categorically the second possibility because he does not want to be morally guilty. Because as soon as you say you are morally guilty, you must be morally guilty before something. Now, fortunately, we need not end in this dark place. But we can turn to a passage of the Bible that is familiar as can be. It was Paul's answer to the same problem in the years of the first century, written not in a philosophically ununderstanding age, but before the Greek-Roman mind. And in that setting, Paul tells us why man will go on deliberately from the music of Bach to the music of Beethoven to the music of Schoenberg to music concrete. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hinder the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. This is the moral sense. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and deity, so that they are without excuse. This is the rationality. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed. And the Greek sense is exchanged. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now this is God's declaration of what has happened at the space-time turning of man from God. But it is not only, notice, the once-for-all turning of man from God, it is constantly repeated throughout history. And at the time of Bach, following the Reformation, knowing the objective existence of the personal infinite God, understanding that the Bible was the Word of God and God revealing himself truly, not completely, but truly to man, Bach did not need to make his own unity. But what here is spoken, then, is not only in the original divergence, but it is what has occurred in our culture from Bach to music concrete. This is not some other land. It is not just merely the lands of the East long ago turning from God. It is our culture turning from God. In the days of Bach, men had ground under their feet, and they had tile over their head. They knew that when they walked through the universe, they did create a ripple. But from Bach to Beethoven to Schoenberg to music concrete, our culture is guilty of consciously turning from the God who is there. And we have come, and we are observed, we who are in this room tonight from many rooms, we are, in our culture, in our countries, a product of the thing that is said here. And exchange the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Why? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature. That's Bach to Beethoven. More than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not becoming. Here are the teddy boys. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it, do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable. O man, it's down to the individual man now, whosoever thou art the judger.
For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same thing. What a picture this is of the absolute revolution of man.
And with this, we return to Bach again, I would say. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified gratis, the non-humanist salvation. Being justified gratis, the very opposite of moving from Bach into this where man is the center. Being justified gratis by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just. And then the great thrust of the Greek as it stands, not in the word, but in the thrust of it, that he might be just, and yet the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. So now we do not need to end with the Zen poems, nor Schoenberg, nor with the Musik on Cray. We can return to Bach, and this can be our home. But I'll put on one more disc, and instead of it being Bach, it'll be something different. It'll be the same message as upon which Bach wrote, but it'll be music which speaks of this not only in the music, but in the words.
On this basis, there is an answer. Man is not damned, is not a disintegrated thing, on the basis of his being, what he is naturally. He is damned because he has, as a rational and moral creature, revolted against the God who is there.